Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dota Obs podcast. I'm your host, Bobo. Today, we are going to talk about, to me, one of the most important aspects of Dota 2, team fighting. And for this, we'll be focusing on two points primarily. One, understanding your position and your hero's strengths. And two, what to do and who to focus during the team fights themselves. And today, I'm joined with actually my good Dota friend, Lo.
What's up, everyone? Nice to be here.
So before we get into the podcast, Lo, why don't you tell everyone a little about yourself, like your history with Dota 2?
Sure. So I've been playing Dota since it was a mod back in Warcraft 3 days. Started playing around 2006. I want to say that the patch number was like 5 point something. So it was pretty long time ago. I have over 4,000 hours in Dota 2, and I'm just really big fan of the game. I think it's the best game ever made. Started playing, probably like most people, the carry roles, and recently changed over to support about a year ago. And I love it so much more than playing carry. I wish more people would get into the support role. It's just way more enjoyable.
And I guess to you, why do you like support role more than carry? Because I'm still in the carry phase right now, actually, because you have about double the amount of time that I have in Dota 2. Why do you like support role more than carry?
Yeah, so a lot of good things come from carry. You get down your mechanics, last hitting is important. You get to really see like the power of farming and getting items and then finding out how powerful those items actually are. And as a support, you just don't get as much of that. And so for some people, they don't get exposed to the game enough, and so it doesn't help them as much. And then as a support, a lot of people look at it like it's a boring role, or you just kind of die, or you don't have a big enough impact, and so they're deterred from the role. But I love it because there's no pressure, and I get a bigger visual of the game as I'm going about it. So I'm not really so much worried exactly of what I'm doing right then and there. I can take a bigger perspective of the game and say, hey, this is what's happening around the map. These are the movements they're making. These are the movements we should be making. And so it's just it's a different role, and it's just a lot more fun currently.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, because the more I've played, the more I realize, I'm not saying carry is boring, but you kind of, if you really think about it, like I think I remember No-Tail saying like Gorp joined their team for a little bit when they were like trying to find a replacement for Ana during like in between, you know, tournaments or something like that. And he's like, yeah, we're going to have him on our team, and he's just going to sit there and hit creeps. That's his job, you know, as a carry. And I'm like, that's actually pretty, I mean, essentially that is your whole job as a carry, more or less. It's just always hit creeps, always be farming, get as big as you can, get as many items as you can, as much farm, and just try to snowball yourself to just becoming like, you know, this ultimate killing machine, you know?
So yeah, it's like, farming simulator.
Exactly. So it's like, I still love carry. Like, I like it because I try to hit my benchmarks. That's what I enjoy most out of it. But I've realized that really, yeah, that's what it is. But as a support role, your game is a lot more dynamic. And for me, in my experience, like the biggest benefit to having Lo on my team is like you kind of do all the big picture critical thinking. Because since you're playing a support role, and like you've already alluded to, you know, you can devote more of your time and effort to thinking towards what the other team is currently doing, like trying to see their game plans. So it's like, oh, so-and-so is building this item, or somebody just TP top, let's take a fight down bottom because they can't be there and respond. Because it's nice for me, I'm like, okay, yeah, just point me in the direction, then I'll just go there and do that, because I'm just like, I'm not, well, and I'm just flat out not good enough to focus on, you know, other parts of the game yet, you know, like that's just where I'm at. But so yeah, it is nice to have like supports and people, just players who have different preferences on your team, but you know, just throughout the game. So to me, though, team fighting, I think, is the quickest way to see a player's true skill level. And when I say that, I mean, like, you look at how they move, who they focus on, when they use items and abilities. Basically, like, you can kind of see how clear of a head they have and overall awareness during the engagement. Because look, team fighting, when I think of a team fight, the first way that comes to my mind is just chaos. It is just chaos, because there's like all these, it's really fun to watch when you're in the middle of it. You see all these huge explosions of spells, people like running around, like jumping everywhere. It just gets, you know, you can lose your hero pretty fast. You can lose attention to like, you know, specific things really quickly. So, to me, aside from taking the opposing ancient, which is obviously like the whole goal of the game, I think right below that, team fighting is the most important participation of Dota you will have. I think based off a team fight, you can really win or lose the game based off the results of that. Would you, what do you think, Logan? Do you agree with that, or what would you say?
Yeah, totally. I mean, there have been countless professional games and personal games where you lose one team fight and that's literally the game. The composition of the enemy's team is just such that they can take your base in the amount of time it takes you to respawn. And so team fighting is definitely a huge aspect. And as you were saying, the focusing aspect of really shows you how good of a player you are is who you focus. And there was a really good pro match that just happened in DPC. I feel bad. I wish I knew who it was, but it was Hippomaniacs versus No Bounty and whoever was playing the Earth Spirit for No Bounty. And I wish I knew his name because I'm doing a disservice. But it was insane just who he was targeting because he would roll in on somebody, get the stun on that hero, and it would give his teammates time to catch up and kill that hero. But he didn't stay to kill that hero with them. He was moving on to the next target, and he would see AA trying to get away, and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go roll on that AA now," despite me not finishing the kill on the person that I had just rolled on and stunned. And so he was just moving on to the next guy. And that's really where this team fight and having a perspective, a big perspective as a support player is really crucial, because you don't need to get the kill. Leave that to your carries who need the farm, who need the last hit or whoever, and you go get the next kill. You set up for the next kill and the next kill, and you're just who are you targeting in these fights and who's the important person that needs to get taken out?
I like that a lot because, and whenever I watch pro matches, a good Earth Spirit is so fun to watch. A good Earth Spirit player, because first off, the hero is incredibly hard to play. I mean, I've only played him maybe like three times. I think I've lost every single game with him too. Just he's hard, you know. He is just, but he's so good though too. It's like he has such good
Yeah, he's
kit.
got
He
a really
has,
good kit.
yeah, he has everything you could want. He has a stun. He has a close. He has a slow and a silence, and then a pretty decent like his ult. I always feel like it's underwhelming, but that's again because lack of understanding and actually playing the hero. But apparently, it's actually a really good ult if
Yeah,
you
it's super
understand
good.
the aspects of it, you know. So he's, yeah, a good Earth Spirit is just, it's so fun to watch. And before we really dive into the aspects of team fighting, I just want to make one thing clear that as we go through this and talk about these are more of general principles and ideas to follow. Team fighting is really hard because there are a multitude of variables to take into account, such as items, abilities, team composition, and timing of the game. And those are just a few things, you know. All of these factors and more make team fighting incredibly challenging to consistently pull off. So let's dive into it. Let's start with understanding your position and hero's strengths, because I think this is a good first place to start when you're trying to evaluate, you know, yourself, your team, and the opposing team. But then you can kind of get an idea of how to engage them and kind of what general game plan to follow for every engagement and team fight. So before the game and fights even begin, I think you need to have a good understanding of your team and the composition. And the enemy's competition as well. So usually I ask myself a few questions. Usually what I do is I look at my team and I'm like, okay, what are our strengths? How much disable and reliable stuns do we have? What is our timing? And like, are there any opposing heroes we need to focus? And these are just like a few questions I start with asking myself. What about you, Lo? What are some like questions or things you like, you know, start to evaluate and ask yourself before the game starts?
Yeah, like those are really good questions, right? I think before the game starts, you need to really know what's your peak performance look like as a team, and then what does your enemy's peak performance look like as a team? What are they good at and what are you good at? And then, that tells you your win conditions, right? When you're going to win the game and when they're going to win the game, or when are you going to lose the game and when can they lose the game? And you can just ask right away, based off of the last picks, whose carries better in a 1v1 matchup, who carries the game harder. Okay, well then we need to get to that point. If they carry the game in mid game, then we need to carry the game late game, and that means we're a harder carry. We just need to draw the game out. These type of questions are super important to focus on, and the impact it's going to have and the role you're going to have in the game. So for an example, I played Ogre the other day, and we had single-handedly lost all three lanes. Like 10 minutes into the game, we were all chatting. We weren't all chatting. We were team chatting, and we were just like, "I'm losing my lane." And then Darkseer was like, "I lost my lane," and Mid's like, "Well, my lane's gone too. Like, this game's over."
Isn't that
Like 10 minutes into the game.
just the greatest feeling ever when you've lost all three lanes early on? You're just like, it's GG at this point. I don't know. I just feel like that's like the common
You're just
go-to
like, cool.
mindset.
But Darkseer doesn't really never get farm. He always can get something. And then we had a jug and I was Ogre, so I made the decision at that point, okay, I'm not going to harass whoever I'm against it out of lane. Ogre's really great at that. He can usually just take a beating and walk up and bop people and throw ignites and do damage over time and just really be annoying, stun people, blah blah blah. And that just wasn't happening. We were against like Treant and something else, and they were just getting heals and doing too much damage to me. And so I was like, okay, my role has changed from being what I initially picked the hero to do to now just enabling my carry. So I started maxing out Bloodlust. I'm like, look, if I can't do anything, at least I can make sure Juggernaut can run around really fast and hit creeps really fast. And if you hit creeps, you win games. And so I maxed out Bloodlust, and I was like, well, let's just see what happens here. And I started itemizing. Instead of itemizing for a long range stun with Aetherlands, I was like, I just need to save someone from something, so I'm going to get a four staff. And luckily, I got a decent four staff timing, which translated into a decent Glimmer Cape timing, and I was able to keep people alive in crucial fights by not saving myself and not trying to put one of the opposing teammate or the opposing enemies in a different position through four staff. I was just using it to get my carries away from like one last right click that was going to kill them. And it was just a totally different game than what I had originally picked my team to do. And because of Juggernaut's healing ward, I was able to we were able to prolong fights, and that's what we were better at, is a prolonged fight between our auras with Darkseer and the healing ward, that our team fight was just better at the end of the game.
So basically, you were kind of acting more as a counter initiator, like as the game evolved and went on, then pretty much. Like, because I assumed you were, because were you kind of thinking, like, I'm an initiator, sort of like a semi initiator or something like that, to try to get like the long range stun with Aetherlands?
Like really like a disruptor. That's funny
Okay.
because that's a hero, a hero's name. But like
No, I
I'm
know what you're
dis
saying.
supposed to be disruptive in these fights. Keep people from being able to blink away with Ignite, stop people from initiating in the middle of the fight on someone. Like if I could see, I could at least stop something from happening, right? That's what your stun is really good at.
Dude, if there's one thing that I hate, it was when I'm in the carry, I jump in for a team fight, and then I get a times six stun from an ogre. I hate that because you sit there, it's like two, three, four, five, six. I'm like, cool. And then like, my rage is just escalating with every single stun, and it's like,
Sick.
it's so annoying. That hero is actually disruptive. I think it's cool that you kind of recognize or malleable in the middle of the game, and they're like, okay, this is more about sustain, and I'm just going full like. Just like more so, I think maybe like mindset wise, like grasping the hard support role and just doing everything you can to enable the carry. Even though like, yeah, that's a support's job, but like some support, sometimes you could be a more offensive minded support or maybe a little bit more greedy of a support depending on the game. But then in that game, like you definitely had to sacrifice maybe like some fun, I would say, like some glory to further help you win the game, more or less, is just kind of what it sounded like to me. And
Yeah, totally. Like to compare to the Earth Spirit that I was watching, he was an initiator, 100%. He was rolling in, getting the initiation on the core, being able to kick them out of position back towards his teammates so they could get the jump on him. Where I was complete opposite. I would kind of just hang back and follow bloodlusting this. Luckily, the jug was playing really well, so I just had to follow him around and bloodlust him. When the TA or the Lifesteal or someone tried to jump on him, all I had to do was literally stun them and be like, okay, cool. I stopped them from blowing you up instantly, and he could get an Omni Slash off and survive, and then throw it on Healing Ward and spin away or do whatever he needed to do and engage in the fight or wait for the team to get there. But I had a totally different role than what that Earth Spirit was doing.
And I like that because I think, again, this is like emphasizing how big your role plays in the overall engagements. And these aren't even like team fights, you're experiencing kind of more what I call skirmishes, because I think the biggest difference between like a team fight and a skirmish is level of engagement. Because a skirmish is like, you know, like two heroes or whatever, one hero clashing with two heroes, or not, you know, it's all about just like, and you're kind of pestering, like trading hits, like, you know, you try to feel out, you try to throw out a stun, you try to go on them, but then they run out of tower or something happens, so then you run away, and you know, it's just like a trading of hits here and there is a skirmish. But so I think, you know, just understanding your role and what you do is so big. Like, for example, if you are, I love playing initiator because I started out playing the off lane. And I think being initiator is just so fun because, one, I think it's really straightforward and pretty simple because usually your hero, you'll buy like, you know, you'll buy the simple items like a bracer to help you sustain in lane and to, you know, get that extra health. And then you usually maybe get like a second item, maybe like a Vanguard. And this is just a general, like, I'm thinking just a general tanky, like the raw initiator build. But then like a Vanguard or like, I don't know, maybe an armlet, but that's more of like offensive. But then you build a blink dagger, and then your whole goal as the initiator is you want to. You start every fight and you try to disable as many heroes as possible. Because usually the initiators want to draw a lot of aggro, and they usually have some way of sustaining through the aggro. And so some heroes, some examples like that I think of are Axe and Timbersaw. Because Axe, you know, he has his call, he gets bonus armor, then he has his counter Helix that combos with this. So you want to get as many people on you, start disrupting everybody, so then they're all on you, and then, you know, your team follows up and does, you know, and then hopefully, you know, if you get a good enough initiation, then, you know, the better the initiation, usually the better the team fight goes in your team's favor. You know, I mean, they're so chaotic, it can always go a completely different way, but I think initiator is really fun, and you know, it's a very straightforward position. But then kind of going back to you, Lo, if you're acting in your position, for you kind of had to wait for the fight to start and for a few spells to be casted before you started your own engagement. And then you already did kind of allude to it a little bit, like, you know, all three of your lanes lost and everything like that. Like, was it, is it like, is it hard to kind of be like malleable, like in that, like that mindset wise? Because for me, I imagine like I have to give up this farm, like, and as a support, you're already kind of, you know, farm starved because that's the life of a support, you know? So is it like, yeah, I don't know. I guess like, is it like a ton of sacrifice, or is it still fun because you get it, your mindset is more so like, yeah, I'm gonna save the team, and you kind of get like satisfaction from that? Or is it like, I don't know, what's your mindset kind of like going into that?
Yeah, I mean, we play the game for its dynamicness and depth of the game, right? The ceiling is extremely high. Even the floor of the game is extremely high. You know, it's not an easy game to even start playing. And so just doing the builds that are kind of recommended right off the bat, they're general builds that are pretty good most of the time. Like you could do that and you're gonna have a good game, regardless of the team composition or how you play. But being able to know the game enough to think to say, hey, do I get a Yules or do I get a four staff? Because I was thinking, do I get a Yules or do I get a four staff? And I thought, you know what, if I can just I can't save my teammates with a Yules, I can't Yules my own teammates, but I can four staff them. So for me, that felt better. And being able to make that decision and see it pay off made it really fun. And I didn't get it, you know, like a great timing on the four staff or anything like that. But me making my individual plays, like, oh, I saved my carry. Like it happened three times. Three times I was able to push my carry away and the last hit didn't kill him. And I was like, sweet, dude. And it just felt so good. Didn't get MVP, didn't get any kills. No one even said anything to me, like, good job, Ogre. You know, it was just like, it's like that was my job and I did it and it was like expected. And so winning the game obviously helps makes the game fun. Doesn't matter how farmed you are or how much you stomped in the game, if at the end of it you lost, it's just not a good time. So I think that helps. Winning definitely helps make the game
Oh, always.
cool.
Yeah.
A
If I
lot
had to
fun.
say, like,
Yeah.
honestly, I think if I had to say, I really think four staff is one of the best items in the game. I really think that it's the application of that item. It has so many possibilities because you were using it to save. Like, I haven't seen it used quite as much in initiations just because, you know, because that's what Blink Dagger is for, obviously. But I just think four staff, it's so good. You can go up high ground and you can't interrupt it unless they have like a nullifier, but that's like a very specific late game situation. So it's like you never really see that. But I don't know. I think four staff, I think it's one of the best items in the game. Would you say that? Do
Oh,
you
it's
think it is?
so good. It
I think it's
is
good.
every team should have a four staff on someone. It's just, it's so good. The unfortunate thing about it is too many people use it on themselves. I didn't use it on myself more than three times, I'm sure, that game. I was the nice thing is though is Ogre is at least tanky enough to be able to take some hits so you don't feel like you're gonna have to die. But that's why I got the Glimmer Cape. I used the Glimmer Cape on myself more often than I did on my teammates, but the four staff was just so huge. You can just, oh, there's my carry being an idiot going too far in. All he has to do is turn around and I can save him. And it's not hard to realize and see in a situation that he's trying to get away, I can help you a little bit, get a little bit further away. Like, so that the item is just insane.
Dude, it's way too good. I totally agree. I think every team should have one four staff item on them for sure. Okay, so let's move on to the second point, what to do and who to focus. I think this is the million-dollar question when fighting. Obviously, this changes every single game, but everybody, like, if you just had, like, because I think everybody would love to have the ability or something just to highlight the heroes, like, okay, jump on this hero, kill them, you win the fight every time. It's not that simple, but like, you know, it's like, it's just, it's so hard because, like, because sometimes, like, as a carry, I'll be brawling with a centaur in a fight, and I'm like, this is so stupid for so many reasons, but it's just the first hero I see. I go, like, into just what's the word? I get tunnel vision, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna kill that hero. But I was like, oh, this is actually the exact opposite of who I should be focusing. But so let's just, so yeah, so how do you answer that question, Lo? Like, what do you do, who to focus for, during a fight?
Yeah, and it's just interesting because like the centaur example, you have to hit him. Like, you know, he's standing so far in front, and you're not just gonna let him continue running at you or continue standing there or whatever. So you have to hit him until you can see who you really need to target. And in general, as a core, if you can kill their supports because they're easy to kill, you know, I was an ogre, I didn't have any items, or I had a four staff that I'm trying to save my cores when I needed to. So it's easy to kill me. I don't have any escape spells, I don't have any invisible spells, you know. So as a core, I'm thinking all that guy does is stun and pester. And generally, they don't have a lot of health. You know, generally, Rubiks, Lions, Shadow Shamans, you know, they don't have a lot of health. And so if I could just BKB jump on them, they die. And that's someone with two, three stuns or, you know, 5 seconds worth of disable that is no longer in the team fight. And this team fight can be 30, 40 seconds. So I think as a core, your job is to focus the supports. And then likewise, as a support, your job is to focus the cores, right? If this guy's going to jump on you and he's doing the most damage and he's going to be the one who's going to kill your team, if you can disable him before he does that and blow him up, team fights should be way, way ahead of what they can do to counter initiate.
I like that because one thing that, because you've already alluded to it, because one thing that I think about in my role as a carry is I try, oh, I try, you know, like I said, I don't always do this, like for the Centaur example, like, because I literally just, you know, like you said, it's the first hero that comes in, and sometimes you have to engage with them, you know, if they're in the front soaking all the aggro, sometimes you can burst them down. It's hard. I mean, it's super situational, but ideally, what I try to do is, as the core, as a hard carry, use my hopefully superior farm level, farm and level, excuse me, and try to quickly overpower the weaker heroes. If I can, usually, if I can get on top of the weaker heroes, which who are usually the supports, if I can get on them fast enough or focus them for long enough, usually you can kill them pretty quickly. Because, like you said, you know, supports usually will have a save spell or some sort of offensive spell to disrupt the fight. But if you can kill them before that, then it significantly weakens the, you know, supposing team. You know, so for example, you know, I don't know if you remember the game where I was playing Ursa, and there was a Phoenix in the game. That was the one where you were playing Mars, if you remember right.
Yeah, you mean
And
that treant that was sitting there?
yeah, the tree, and there was a Treant too. Yeah, there's a Treant and a
Yeah.
Phoenix, like massive team fight potential, dude. It was nuts. But so I remember you said, to wait to use my ult and overpower ability until the Phoenix used his ult, used Egg, because I could quickly burst it down. And there was one or two fights where, you know, this was before, I think this was right before the new patch came out. So Abyssal still had that like blink stun, if I remember right. So I had Abyssal, and if I saw a Phoenix, I was like, I'm just gonna try to kill him before. It was risky, granted, because I'm using everything at once, and I got it, I think, once or twice. But then other fights I did have to wait. and go on the egg afterwards. Granted, it didn't always work out because, again, no team, like, it's very rare every team fight goes the way you want, no matter how well you plan for them. But
yeah,
the awareness alone, like, makes a big difference. So
it really does. Like, and one thing that two things here. So if you can, like, when a centaur is standing in front of you and you're an Ursa or a Juggernaut or something like that, one of the biggest things that role wants you to do as a core to them is to use spells on them. You know, like, oh, if I can get this guy to Omni Slash me, awesome. If I can get this guy to use some overpowered charges on me, that's awesome. Because he just wants your spells to be on cooldown so that you can't use them on his supports or his cores. And so that's why they're big and they're tanky and they take these spells. Now they're on cooldowns for tens of seconds, and now we have a chance to initiate in this fight. We can counter initiate on this fight. And you know, if you can know the game well enough to know cooldowns and stuff of heroes, then you know your window of opportunity to attack. And when it comes to being focused and targeted in fights, I will never forget, I was playing a lion against some void in some game, and he would literally solo chrono me every single fight. He didn't care what was going on, and I was just a lion. I was literally position 5 lion. He would just solo chrono me, and they would win the fight because we had nobody else who could do any stunts. So this guy obviously recognized, if I just solo chrono this lion, they have literally no stuns, and I can do whatever I want. And it was the most frustrating game, and I don't even know when it happened. It was like a long time. That game was a long time ago, but I still remember it and the impact that it had on this guy. Knew exactly what to do. And so, yeah, if you can recognize who you need to target, it just makes your team fighting so much easier.
Gosh, because I'm thinking about your situation, because at first I'm like, it must be nice to realize you're that important, like, to the team's success, but also that actually sucked to realize you're that important to the team's success too, because,
yeah.
And it's even worse that when they recognize it too, like, because, you know, like, I remember, because sometimes when I play against, like, a good Oracle, I hate playing against a good Oracle because, one, they, like, because if he gets the Aetherlands especially, you never see him in a team fight. He is so far back, and then all of a sudden you see, like, his root flying in from super far away, and it, like, either on you or it purges off them. Or, you know, you're playing against him and a troll, the troll ults, then you almost kill the troll or something like that, but then you're getting ready to finish him off, and then also, nope, then he does, what's his ult? Is it False Promise? Is that what his ult is? Or
yeah.
It's like, nope, and then it's like, cool, now he's invincible, and then by the time his ult is off, Troll is all the way healed. I'm like, okay, so it's like, I have to go so far back to try to get, you know, this Oracle that's so far behind, but he's so critical to them, like, I have to get back there, but at the same time, there's this big wall in front of me that is inhibiting me from doing that. So it's like, you know, there's always a way to do it, right? Like, there's always a way to, you know, try to counter the team, try to approach them during team fights or try to pick them off. But I think it's hard, you know, it's very hard. And that's what, you know, coordinating with your team makes a big difference. Again, going back to our example with the Mars and Ursa game, because what was nice is, you know, I remember we smoked and everybody was, and you were like, okay, guys, let me go first. Let them use all their spells on me. Cause you had a Yules, then you eventually had an AC, and then you had another item too. You basically were like, I mean, and obviously Mars is the kind of hero that wants to be in the very front and wants to start the fight, you know, because he is just so freakishly tanky. And so, and it was nice. So then they would dump all their spells on you. And there was actually, I think, like, two fights where you died actually, but then we just wiped them. Or like, yeah, that's 100% worth it. That's what we want to happen. Like, burn all of your spells, all of your abilities on him, and we'll do cleanup duty afterwards, you know? So it's like,
yeah, like, if I could just get my ult off, I don't care if I die, because then they're not getting away, you know, and then you guys can clean up. Yeah, I definitely remember a couple fights where I was the only one who died. I was like, who cares? They all died, and I was the only one who died. That's amazing. Yeah. I'll take that every time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So I think overall, just like, because I think the points we're trying to make is, like, it's just really, it's building this awareness of your games, right? So it's looking at, trying to identify who their strongest heroes are, and maybe not even, I'm not even referring to maybe strongest in terms of farm level, but maybe strongest in terms of disable. Again, going back to Lowe's example of the lion, you know, like the void solo, because if you think about it, I would argue 9 games out of 10, that would be a bad chrono, at least off the top of my head. You know, you think that, right? Because it's like, it's a position 5 lion. That's no gold for you. That's no levels, because that's the support. But again, but you see the repercussions, like, cool, now they have no stun, no disable, no burst damage or whatever. They don't have anything. Now he can do whatever he wants in the team fight and just run rampant. You know,
yeah.
So
That's one way to be able to recognize who you should focus in team fights is as a core, you're thinking, okay, what's killing me, right? Like, why am I dying in these fights? Is it because I'm getting locked down? Is it because that person's doing too much damage? Like, what is it that is making me die? And then you can start planning with your team accordingly. You know, it's like, hey, I'm dying because this lion is stunning me every single time in these fights, and I'm the only one doing all of our damage. So if I die, then we aren't going to win the team fight. That's just what happens. And you know, that's what happens a lot of times when you have a TA on your team. You know, she's all the damage, she can burst someone super fast. But if you have a counter initiator like a lion who's just going to hex you and you can't do anything, that lion needs to die first, right? And I think as a support in these team fights, your whole job is really just to make sure that you have good vision up, try to maneuver and dictate your team to fight around your vision. Vision wins games. Like that game when I was Mars and you were Ursa, we wouldn't have won that game if we didn't have the vision and that jump on that on the treant that was just sitting there in the trees. Like we happened to have vision and sentries to see him invisibly sitting there, and we got the jump before while they were fighting around Roche Pit. And that was just huge.
I actually remember that. That was so clutch because I think the game was contingent right there. I think that's really what like the game winning play was
That was the
because
turning point, yeah, for
it was the
sure.
turning
Because
point.
there were
That's what it was.
buybacks were spent, and I think it was a 3 or a 4v5. Like they had somebody up on us. We didn't have everyone or
Yeah,
something.
and they were taking Roche, and then like you said, luckily our supports were awesome that game and always had Dust and a sentry. So I was like, hey, I think Tree is close by. Then our support put down a sentry, and I barely saw him. And I think I was Ursa again. Just, oh
Instantly
yeah,
jumped on
so
him, yeah.
and yeah, and I was just, and then we burst him down. And then luckily, Ursa's really good at taking Roche. I were able to totally, yeah. Then from there, you know, it was a uphill fight, downhill fight. I don't know. It
Yeah.
was pretty much like smooth sailing, more or less, from there. Like it's pretty obvious that we were going to win the game from there. It felt really good. But yeah, so as you can see, like from all this, these are, you know, these are just general rules to follow, is what we're alluding to here. This is just to help give you guys ideas to have in mind, your game plan for the game. You know, I like to think the better you are at team fighting, the better your chances of overall winning the game are. You know, like I said, team fighting is hard. It's very hard. I think just to reiterate, you know, with when we go back, when you're looking at, try to understand your hero's positions and strengths. You know, just look at your team, your strengths, weaknesses. Look at your win condition. One thing that Lo said that I actually, when we were talking before this, was when do we lose? I think that's a really good question to ask because it is so. Oh no. Oh, hello.
There we go.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay, I lost connection for a split second. But sorry, so when did it cut off right there? I lost my internet cut off for a split second.
You're just saying how that was general team fight stuff.
General team fight. Yeah. So and then yeah, so going back, I think it's really just to reiterate a few things. I think it's very, like we've gone over, it's very important to understand your position and your hero's strengths. And like, you know, we've looked over the questions, you know, what are our team's strengths? Do we have good push? Do we have good catch? Do we have good wave clear? Do we have good vision? Because as Lo said, vision legitimately, it wins games. I cannot stress how important vision is to every single game. Like obviously, you know, everybody knows, but the more you like, just the more information you have, the easier it is to make decisions, pretty much. And one thing that you also said, Lo, when we were talking about this before, was because one of the questions I put was, what is our win condition? And then you put, when do we lose? Which I actually really liked because, like you said, like kind of rewinding in the episode when you said how you lost all three lanes. I think, like, and like I said, it sucks when you get there. And I think it's easy to write off the game. It's easy to say, oh, we've lost, you know, GG. I've been in so many games. And usually, you know, it's a pretty big deficit. But I kind of like that. Like, I don't know. Was there anything that caused you to kind of like think of that question? Or is that just, you know, is that just something just like the never give up sort of like mindset or anything like that? I don't, I
No,
thought that was a really good, like positive outlook on it, you know?
I do certainly. There are certain heroes that you think, okay, we lose. We lose when PL gets heart. We lose when, Earthshaker gets ags, you know, because usually you have these heroes that you're going up against that if they get these items, they have too much lockdown for you to deal with. Your BKBs won't last long enough through the team fights for you to sustain, or the cores have these items that make them too difficult to deal with, and you won't be able to win. You know, if Sniper gets too much farm, we don't have any way of getting on top of him and killing him, right? Obviously, there's always this, and that's why Dota is so beautiful. There's always answers to everything. There really is, but it just makes it so much harder that it's like, okay, that's when we lose. So keeping in mind those questions and thinking, okay, how are we gonna get out of this? That's where items really just counter heroes, and you got to start picking the right things.
How stupid is it when it takes your whole team to kill two Naga Siren Illusions that are just walking down
Oh
lane every
yeah.
30 seconds? How stupid is that, isn't
Oh
it?
yeah. It's
Dude,
ridiculous. It's so frustrating.
I know. Luckily, it hardly ever happens. I haven't seen that for a long time, but when it gets to that point in the game, I'm just like, really, if it takes all my effort, obviously, and the beautiful thing you've alluded to is like, yeah, you can instantly kill it with Hex, you know, but if you have to right click those things, they just don't die. And so I think it's not that you've lost, but your odds of winning are really, really hard at that point, you know. But that's the purpose of a carry, you know, like that's the point you try to get to is, you know, just to almost get as close to guaranteeing your chances of winning as you can. You know, that's how I look at the role as a carry, more or less, you know, like one of the contingencies of them. Okay, but that is all we have for this episode. Thank you so much, Lo, for joining. I really appreciate you taking the time, and to also bring in a different perspective, just towards these, you know, the whole outlook of team fighting. I think it was really good to get, you know, because like I said, I'm a carry player, so I think more so just, you know, just go into total autopilot and just right click the first hero I see. But it's good to have, you know, those support heroes and to get a different perspective on the whole team fighting aspect and dynamic of it. So thanks a lot for joining on this episode of Dota Ops. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great. Happy to come on. Anytime you need someone or another perspective insight, happy to help. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, definitely. We'll definitely have you back for future episodes for sure. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Your support is always appreciated. Don't forget to check out the website Dota Obs for detailed info on the episodes. And if you ever have any requests, you can also contact us through there as well. I'm sorry for the audio getting a little choppy at some parts. My internet suddenly died at one point in the middle of it, so I apologize for that. But thanks again for your support and for listening. Good luck and have fun in your games.